The Public News Service Daily Newscast, May the 3rd, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. A 40-year battle to close the Indian Point nuclear power plant came to an end last week as the last of its three reactors was permanently shut down on Friday.
Indian Point was once the single largest source of electric power in the state, but its presence on the banks of the Hudson River just 25 miles north of New York City has long raised safety and environmental concerns. The first reactor shut down in 1974, the second just last year. Liz Moran with the New York Public Interest Research Group calls the final closure a huge victory.
This plant posed a major threat to New Yorkers, especially the over 19 million New Yorkers who live in or work in the New York metropolitan area.
Critics of the closure warn the loss of a carbon-free source of power will increase New York's reliance on natural gas at a time when the state is seeking to cut emissions from fossil fuels. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
A new program aims to help staff at homeless shelters better care for their LGBTQ plus clients. More on that from Suzanne Potter.
Experts from the Equality California Institute have offered LGBTQ plus diversity, equity, and inclusion training to medical professionals for 6 years. But now they've expanded to include the staffs of programs that serve people who are homeless. Zizi Bandera, who teaches the one-hour program via Zoom, says the key is to place people in the housing where they feel most at ease.
If you have someone that's telling you they're a transgender woman, she might feel more comfortable in shelter with men, or she might feel more comfortable in a shelter with women. So really giving folks agency to decide where they feel most comfortable.
The training teaches the correct terminology, and Bandera says it emphasizes the fact that transgender people are not more threatening than anyone else and are more likely to be victims of aggression. Renee Evans, with an organization called Only Kindness that works on rapid rehousing in El Dorado County, says the program taught her staff not to avoid the topic of gender identity.
And more North Carolina employers have changed their time-off policies to include sick leave related to COVID-19, but low-income workers and those in industries considered essential are still less likely to have paid leave. That's according to the North Carolina Justice Center. Kathy Colville is with the North Carolina Institute of Medicine.
We've had these big demographic shifts in the last decade so that most children in North Carolina are cared for by parents who are working outside the home.
State lawmakers are considering the NC Paid Family Leave Act and the Healthy Families, Healthy Workplace Act, which will require employers to offer paid family and medical leave insurance and allow workers to earn a minimum number of paid sick days. This is PNS. Community colleges have helped push recovery forward in past times of economic hardship. Their advocates say federal funding will help them do it again. More on that from Lily Bolke.
President Joe Biden's American Families Plan includes $109 billion for 2 years of community college tuition for anyone. Dave Kaufman with the Massachusetts Association of Community Colleges points out that investments in community college learning have economic benefits for students as well as local and regional employers and the Commonwealth.
Frankly, 95, if not sometimes more, percent of the students that attend a community college are going to stay rooted in their local community within miles of that college campus.
The American Families Plan is a follow-up to last month's American Jobs Plan, which includes funding for workforce development, a key component of which is aligning educational programs with the needs of the local community and region, as well as $12 billion for technology and infrastructure updates at community colleges.
And migratory birds returning to New Mexico after a 2020 migration that resulted in a mass die-off, but wildfires due to climate change remain a serious threat to their survival.
In August and September of last year, abnormally large numbers of birds turned up dead in people's backyards in New Mexico, Colorado, and other western states. Concerned residents documented the event on a crowdsourced science platform called iNaturalist. Annie Yang, studying the phenomenon as a postdoctoral fellow in spatial ecology at Colorado State University, wanted to know if wildfires across the West had an impact.
The wildfire and also the toxic gas and the smoke is major factors that will influence the spatial distribution of the birds die-off events.
I'm Roz Brown.
Finally, Mike Bowen tells us a volunteer-driven effort to patrol and clean up three primary rivers in Milwaukee hopes to inspire similar movements across the state.
The state's only current waterkeeper has led work along the Milwaukee River Basin since the 1990s. Goals include improving flood management, water quality, and wildlife. Riverkeeper Cheryl Nen says there's a host of nonprofits and agencies keeping an eye out, but in the broader region, there aren't that many citizen-style efforts driven by science and advocacy. She says a lack of public awareness leaves gaps in monitoring these natural resources, which could harm the state's water tourism industry.
Arguably, it's one of our biggest industries in Wisconsin, and we're not going to be able to sustain that if we don't have clean water that people are attracted to.
Nen says the three rivers in the basin continue to deal with pollution issues, but her efforts have seen success, including a forced removal of a deteriorating dam in 2018. The Milwaukee Group is one of eight in the Great Lakes region that operate under the Waterkeeper Alliance.
I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We remember listeners supported, heard on great radio stations, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.